Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at a topic that's just so incredibly important, maybe often overlooked, caregiver self-care. You might hear self-care and think, well, that sounds a bit like a luxury, right? But our goal today really is to show you why it's, well, absolutely essential. We've got some great material here, a kind of compass, you could say, for navigating the real challenges of caregiving without, you know, losing yourself in the process.
Exactly. And it's true. When you take on that huge responsibility of caring for someone, it's almost automatic for your own needs to get pushed to the back burner. But what comes through so clearly in everything we've looked at is that your well-being, it isn't secondary. It's actually fundamental, crucial, really, not just for you, but for the person you're caring for, too.
You know, it's funny. I think a lot of us, even before looking into this, we carry this idea that caregiver self-care feels, I don't know, almost selfish. Like, how can you possibly focus on yourself when someone else needs you so much? But what's really striking is how this material just completely reframes that. It's not a luxury item. It's flat out called a must for staying healthy and caring well. Mm-hmm. And the key, apparently, to making the whole thing more sustainable. So it's not about being indulgent. It's really about endurance.
That's really the heart of it. The research draws this incredibly clear, direct line between a caregiver's health, body, and mind, and the actual quality of care they can give. If you neglect yourself, that risk of stress and burnout, it's not just, oh, you're having a bad week. It really does lead to exhaustion, emotional strain, and health problems. And that inevitably just reduces your ability to provide that consistent, compassionate care. It's bad for everyone.
Right. So it's almost like your body's own warning system flashing. And it's so important to know what those red flags actually look like. Our sources are really specific here about the early signs of caregiver stress. Things like, you know, persistent feelings of exhaustion, increased irritability or mood swings, maybe difficulty sleeping, sometimes even neglecting personal hygiene or pulling back, withdrawal from social interactions. These aren't just off days. They're signals.
Yeah.
Important ones.
Absolutely. Think of it like the check engine light in your car, maybe.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just ignore that, would you? And the insights we have here make it really plain that ignoring these signs in yourself is just as risky, maybe even more so, because it doesn't just harm you. It directly impacts the person you're dedicated to helping. Finding that balance, that equilibrium between your needs and theirs, it's repeatedly called out as key to sustainable caregiving.
Okay, so once we sort of grasp why self-care is non-negotiable, the next big question is how. How do you actually do it when life feels so demanding? And that's where this material gets really practical, starting with the absolute foundation, your physical health. First off, sleep. Okay, sounds simple, yeah. But for caregivers, getting consistent, good sleep can feel like climbing a mountain. Yet the research is really clear. Keeping up a healthy sleep schedule isn't just about not feeling tired. It underpins everything you're thinking, your patience, your emotional balance. Some tips mentioned are things like set a regular bedtime routine, try to make your bedroom a calm place, really aim for 7-9 hours without interruptions if possible, and maybe reduce screen time before bed. Little things, you know, that signal calm down to your body.
Yeah.
Then there's fuel, you know, eat balanced, nutritious meals and drink plenty of water all day. Simple stuff, but easy to let slide. And movement. Getting about 30 minutes of moderate exercise, and this bit's important. Choose activities you like so it doesn't just feel like another chore on the list. And finally, please don't skip those regular health checkups. Catching any issues early is just smart.
That physical side is definitely the bedrock. But caregiving, wow, it hits you emotionally too, doesn't it? It's profoundly emotional work.
Mm.
So after thinking about the body, we absolutely have to talk about emotional well-being, emotional strength. The material we looked at is really clear. This isn't just a nice extra. It's literally the foundation of compassionate caregiving. I mean, how can you keep giving emotionally if your own well is dry?
Makes total sense.
And the ways to manage that emotional load, they're quite practical too. Like, acknowledge your feelings without judgment. That's a really big one. Just letting yourself feel whatever you're feeling. Then doing regular emotional check-ins with yourself. And finding healthy coping mechanisms, things like mindfulness practices, deep breathing, medication, maybe just writing down your thoughts are highlighted as really effective. And crucially, not being afraid to seek out professional help. Things like therapy or support groups can make a huge difference when you need that external perspective or just understanding.
Yeah, it's not about just toughing it out, is it? All right, so that leads us to something that can be incredibly difficult for caregivers. Boundaries and time management. This material makes a really direct, almost blunt point here. If you don't set limits, caregiving can take over your life. It sounds like less of a suggestion, more of a serious warning.
Mm-hmm. A necessary one.
So what do those limits actually look like in practice? It seems to start with setting realistic expectations. Like, really know your limits. What you can actually physically and emotionally handle. And accept this is hard. Realize you can't be perfect. And tied to that, be gentle with yourself when things get tough. Perfection is just not achievable here.
Yeah.
Then delegating responsibilities effectively. This isn't about passing the buck. It's about smart teamwork. Find tasks others can handle. Make sure everyone's clear on what's needed. Maybe even set up a schedule with family or friends.
That communication piece is key.
Definitely. And maybe the hardest, but most vital, establishing personal space and time. You have to consciously make time for breaks, enjoy your hobbies, and stay connected to life outside of caregiving.
You know, all these strategies, they really echo that powerful quote from Eleanor Brown. Self-care is not selfish. You cannot serve from an empty vessel. It just perfectly sums up this truth that if your own resources, your own well-being are completely drained, if that vessel is empty, you simply can't keep giving. You can't provide that compassionate care long term. It's just a fundamental reality for making caregiving sustainable.
That quote really hits home, doesn't it? And it leads us right into this next crucial idea. You really, truly don't have to face this alone. So what are the concrete steps? How do you build that support system, that community?
Yeah, how do you build it?
Well, the advice seems pretty clear and practical. First, reach out to family and close friends. Let them know what's going on. Then actively connect with local support groups. Sharing with others who really get it can be incredibly validating. Explore professional counseling services for that expert, objective guidance. And don't overlook online communities and forums. They can offer connection and advice anytime, anywhere.
And what's really powerful in all this is the emphasis on, well, vulnerability. The research suggests that simply sharing your experiences and feelings is a powerful coping strategy. It takes courage. You know, it's not a sign of weakness. And that directly challenges that common feeling caregivers have, that they have to be the strong one, do it all themselves. As one source puts it so well, asking for help and taking breaks are signs of strength, not weakness.
That's such an important shift in perspective.
It really is. And there's another great quote that fits here. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. Little bits of help add up. And it's just so easy for caregivers to get caught in that guilt trap, right? Thinking they should be able to handle everything personally. But the material really stresses that this mindset is a direct path to burnout, which ultimately means poorer care.
Exactly.
And that's precisely why resources like respite care services exist. They offer that temporary relief, that essential pause button, specifically designed to prevent caregivers from reaching total exhaustion.
And when we talk about those professional resources, it's actually quite a wide net. You can look into things like your local council or social services departments, some community healthcare providers, even specialized care agencies or charitable organizations that might offer respite care options. For finding those support groups, maybe check community centers or ask your healthcare provider for recommendations. And like we said, online platforms are just full of expert advice, peer support, and loads of educational materials. It's worth looking.
Yeah, as Carers UK puts it quite simply, you're not alone in your caregiving journey. Support is available. And that's, I think, a really hopeful and empowering message to hang on to.
Absolutely. Okay, let's pivot slightly to another massive challenge. That juggling act, the tightrope act, as it's sometimes called, of balancing caregiving with work and, well, the rest of life, it can feel completely overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely.
So the sources offer some really down-to-earth tips for managing this. First, talk openly with your boss about your caregiving tasks. That transparency might unlock some flexibility you didn't know was possible. Then, actively look into flexible work options, maybe adjusted hours, maybe some remote work if your job allows for it. It's worth asking.
Definitely.
Also, trying to focus on what's important and delegate tasks, both at work and at home, just to keep things manageable. Don't try to be a superhero on all fronts.
Right.
And inevitably, it circles back again. You have to make time for yourself and self-care.
Yep.
Even in this context, maybe especially in this context, it's non-negotiable.
This really brings up a key question, doesn't it? How do you actually do that balancing act when you're pulled in so many directions? The material seems to stress that this balance is an art, not a perfect science.
Mm.
It's about adapting, adjusting constantly, not achieving some rigid, perfect schedule. And interestingly, technology gets mentioned as a potential ally here.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, simple things like using share calendars for planning with family or other helpers, exploring options like telehealth and remote care appointments to save travel time and disruption. Even using apps for managing tasks, reminders, lists, coordinating things, they can all help ease that logistical burden quite a bit.
That makes sense, using the tools available.
Exactly. But ultimately, all the insights seem to loop back to this one critical point. Your health, as the caregiver, isn't just about you. It's actually the cornerstone that enables you to manage all those different roles effectively and keep providing the care your loved one needs. It's the foundation.
So as we kind of wrap up our deep dive today, the main message, the core takeaway we've unpacked, feels really clear. Your role as a caregiver, it's obviously a deep commitment. It's this huge act of love and dedication. But, and this is the crucial, but self-care is not a luxury, but a must for keeping you healthy. It's just fundamental.
And it's important to remember, caring for others and caring for yourself, they aren't opposing forces. They actually go together, hand in hand. Every single step you take towards your own self-care, whether it's setting a small boundary, getting a bit more sleep, acknowledging how you feel, asking for help, each step makes you stronger. It builds resilience, helps prevent that burnout, allows you to sustain your vital role.
So here's maybe a final thought to leave you with. How could embracing just one small act of self-kindness today create a ripple effect? A ripple of strength for tomorrow, not just for you, but also for the person or people you care for. It's worth considering, perhaps, how your own journey towards self-care can actually be a really powerful example of resilience and compassion for your loved ones, too. Something to think about.